Church family. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so happy you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got?
Baptism is a meaningful next step for anyone who has chosen to follow Jesus. It's a public expression of faith that represents leaving the old behind and stepping into the new life that Christ has given us. It's through baptism that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the transformation that he brings. If you've decided to follow Jesus but haven't been baptized yet, we want to encourage you to take that next step. We have a heated indoor baptism waiting for you to do so. So if you'd like to sign up or if you have any more questions, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey everyone, Pastor Randy and Pastor Nicole here. And Easter is quickly approaching, and we have three amazing services that we want you to attend.
The first one is the Friday night reflection of Passover. Yes. We're excited about this. We do have childcare at 6 p.m. And then we're gonna follow that up on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. with a sunrise service outside. Dress warm, there'll be coffee and cocoa, but we're gonna do it just like they did.
That's right. And then our last service will be Sunday at 10 a.m. where we're gonna celebrate with the whole congregation. And we're gonna celebrate, of course, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We're looking forward to joining our family with your family yes. this Easter. Come on out and join us as a church.
We will see you there.
Healing Night is Sunday, March 15th at 6 p.m. This will be a powerful evening focused on faith and believing God for restoration, breakthrough, renewed faith, and miracles to happen in our lives. And don't wait until then. Begin praying now, believing God that he is preparing your heart for what he is going to do that night. There will be childcare up through fourth grade, so bring your whole family and join us on March 15th at 6 p.m. for Healing Night.
Hey, church family. Today, I'd like to highlight Ella Johnson. Ella serves here Only Believe on our prayer team. Every time I come in the door, I know Ella's gonna be here. She's so faithful, she's so kind, and I know with full confidence, Ella believes Jesus for me. I just wanted to say thank you, Ella. We love you, and your church family loves you, and we're so grateful that you're Only Believe.
An invite card could change someone's eternity. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby for you to grab and to invite someone you know to come to church with you. So be praying about who God will lead you to invite to our next service.
And as always, if you want more information on groups, events here at Only Believe, or ways to get connected, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and you'll get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. How many of you was here just a little early this morning? No. A couple of you forgot about the time change. Okay. That's what I meant. Yeah. I love it. Sitting in the parking lot at 9 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. Sorry. Oh, well. It's all good. Praise the Lord. So before we start today, baptisms. If you have never been baptized, but yet you've given your life to Jesus, that is the next step according to the Bible. So if you would like to be baptized, know more about baptism, then you can go back out to the Welcome Center, sign up there, and we will be glad to baptize you. It is our honor to do so. Amen? All right, very good. Now then, today we're going to start a new series off. We're done with miracles, and of course, next Sunday night is going to be our healing service, so I hope you guys have invited people and that they are coming expecting something, expecting a healing, a miracle, a breakthrough, because it is going to happen. Yes, amen. So we're getting excited and pumped about that, but we're going to start a new series here. It's going to be 7 weeks, and it's the I Am series, and I'm excited about the I Am series. And we're going to be talking about the 7 I Am statements that Jesus made when he was here in the Gospel of John. Now, what's interesting about John's Gospel is that it was written later than all the other Gospels. And he leaves out many synoptic stories that the other Gospels have. Now, I know some of you are like, what does the word synoptic mean? Well, it's a very simple word, but it means similar. The other Gospels have similar stories. And of course, the theologians call them synoptic gospels. Now, simple people like me would just say that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have kind of the same stories, but John doesn't. That's the simple guy like me. But synoptic sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. Sounds homiletical, philosophical, homiletical, and homiletical. Yeah, I like sounding smart at times. It's okay. But here's the deal. Matthew, Mark, and Luke told stories that John never did, which is kind of interesting to me. John never talked about the parables. He never talked about the virgin birth. How important is that, John? He never talked about the Mount of Transfigurations, Jesus' temptations. He never talked about any of those things, yet the other gospels did. And here's why. Instead, John wanted to show us, you and me, that Jesus was the Son of God, and to share more about the nature of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Andy? Well, when I was praying the other night, God said, no, I'm just teasing. I wasn't praying at all. No, because John told us this in the last verse of the last book. He tells us this in John 20, 31. He says to all of us, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Praise the Lord. That's fantastic. So he shows that Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a miracle worker. No, he says he is the Son of God, the great I am, and he's with us. That's what he wanted to share with all those people back then and still today. Powerful, very powerful. And in Exodus 3, 13 and 14 is where we hear the name I am for the very first time. It says, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said that you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. John brings out the seven I am statements that Jesus says about himself. And also shares seven miracles, and John calls them signs. He doesn't call them miracles. He calls them signs that Jesus performed that helped verify who Jesus said he was and who he still is. All right. When it comes to this number seven, most of us know that it means completion or perfection, wholeness or fulfillment. And God created the world in 6 days, and what did he do on the seventh? He rested. The work was finished, he looked at it, he completed it, and he called it very good. He was satisfied with it. Jesus is the complete revelation of God. Jesus is the image of our invisible God. Remember, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's right. God makes himself known through Jesus. So John starts out his book by saying in John 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That last statement right there means this: Jesus entered a world full of spiritual darkness. The darkness could not understand him, and the darkness could not defeat him either. No, darkness can never, ever, ever, and I can say it for 1,000 times, extinguish light. Can never do it. And remember, hallelujah, there is no power in darkness. I think 2 or 3 months ago, I preached on the light. Jesus is the light of the world in a different aspect. And I said, how many of you guys, when you build a house, you have light switches that you put in? How many dark switches do you put in? You know, when you want darkness, you turn the dark light on and you turn the light off, right? No, there's no power in darkness. Darkness is just there. But what overcomes darkness every time is that light switch. And Jesus is the light of the world, and he has overcome darkness. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. Who is the Word? Come on, say it again. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word that they're talking about. He's been there in the beginning. He didn't just show up in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. He's always been there. And I'll tell you what, a lot of religions can't figure that out. It doesn't make any sense to these religions. But it's absolutely true. And Jesus proves that he was there in the beginning when he was having a heated discussion with the Jewish religious leaders in John the 8th chapter. And we'll start out in verse 48. So you can turn to John chapter 8, verse 48. And we're going to run all the way down to verse 59. It says here, "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death.'" Woo. Verse 52, "Then the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you." Man, this is Jesus talking now. This is my side of Jesus I like. "But I do not know him, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now that had to really confuse him. What? Abraham saw when I was coming? He saw my day? He saw when I was here and he was glad? Oh boy, this really made him mad. Verse 57, "Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am.'" Oh, wow. Now, you got to remember, it says, "Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Here's the problem. Back then, there was no free speech. No, because that type of statement back then was death. You made a statement like that, you're going to die. There was no free speech. It's powerful. Sit back and take a look at this.
"And that is why you will not listen.
Were we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon in you?"
"I have no demon. I honor my father, but you dishonor me. I am not seeking honor for myself, but there is one who is seeking it and who judges in my favor. I am telling you the truth. Whoever obeys my teaching will never die."
"Now we know for sure that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets died. Yet you say that whoever obeys your teaching will never die."
"Our father Abraham died. You do not claim to be greater than Abraham, do you?"
"And the prophets also died. Who do you think you are?"
"If I were to honor myself, that honor would be worth nothing. The one who honors me is my father, the very one you say is your God. You have never known him, but I know. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see the time of my coming. He saw it and was glad."
"You are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham."
"I am telling you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am."
Then they picked up stones to throw at him. Jesus hid himself and left the temple.
Man, wouldn't it have been crazy to be there when Jesus was there? Wow. And know what we know now? That would have been amazing for sure. But again, notice what he said. He said, before Abraham, he didn't say, I was. Before Abraham, I am. And here's the deal. You know, those theologians, those Pharisees, those Sadducees, they knew what he was talking about. They knew that he was saying that he was divine. And man, that was blasphemy to the utmost. And that's why they wanted to kill him. But of course, it wasn't Jesus' time, so he snuck out. Man, wouldn't it be cool if we could just sneak out of a crowd like that? It'd be amazing. Just disappear. It's beautiful. But I am means self-existent and eternal. Eternal. Those religious leaders knew what he was talking about. They knew it. They were smart. They acted stupid at times, but they were smart. They didn't want to see it. And that's the difference. When you say, and I say, I am, we have to finish the statement. I am hungry. I am tired. I am loving Pastor Randy's message this morning. We have to finish the statement. We're not eternal. Hallelujah. We're not. But God has no beginning, no source, no limits, no end, no dependency. It doesn't make sense. He's always been and always will be the Alpha, the Omega. He always will be. He's self-sufficient. He's all-knowing. He simply is. Just crazy. Blows the mind. So we are going through these seven I am statements for the next 7 weeks. And we're starting with I am the light of the world in a minute. And I'm going to bring it out in a different way that I didn't bring it out a couple months ago. And God led me this way. So, and again, I got a confirmation through worship as well. Thank you, God, for those confirmations. Hallelujah. But on Easter Sunday, which is only 5 weeks away, guys, 5 weeks away, Pastor Nicole, woo, she's going to go out and do the sunrise 7 a.m. service outside. Yeah, come on. She says burr. Hopefully it'll be 65 degrees, baby, and the sun will be shining. Who was there last Easter when we had that? You remember when I was preaching, all of a sudden the rooster crowed? Man, that was powerful. I was like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Right at the right time. That was beautiful. So Miss Nicole's going to be out there in the warm, hopefully, weather doing the sunrise service. And then at 10 a.m., I will be preaching on I Am the Resurrection and the Life, which is going to be very powerful. So all those little cards you have on your pews, make sure you get those invite cards out and send them to people. Hallelujah. Just think, if someone gives their life to Christ, that you put that on a chair or take that to wherever, man, that's your jewel, diamond reward in heaven. Come on, that's fantastic. That's beautiful. Because on earth, they're gone. We're supposed to save up for up there. Witnessing, bringing people to Jesus, handing out cards, that kind of stuff is our heavenly rewards that we want. Amen? Okay, all right. All right, okay, back to the message. But what is super cool about what Jesus said is this: the God who revealed himself in the fire to Moses through that burning bush is now standing in front of them in the flesh. It's crazy. He's not hidden. He's not distant. No, he is present with us. I am is present tense, if you didn't know. Present tense. He is not I was. He is not I will be. He is I am. And that's powerful. So what's Jesus I am to you and me? Well, that's pretty simple. He is our shepherd. He is our light. Man, he is our path. We could go on for hours of who he is to you and I. But he is touchable. We can know him intimately. He is reachable. Hallelujah. We don't just get to learn about him. We can walk with him. That's the difference between this religion and other religions around the world. There's only one that's alive, and that's one that's here, and he's with us right here in this place. He is the I am. We can experience him and understand him more through these seven object lessons that teaches us about him. And so we will see, and also that every I am statement connects to a human problem. A human problem. And the answer to those problems is Jesus the I am. So when he says, I am the light of the world, I am the door, there's always a problem there, and he is always pointing to himself as the answer. And we're going to see this here as we brighten things up with John 8:12. You like how I did that? You guys awake this morning? Okay, all right. Very good. I know you lost that hour of sleep. It's tough, but it's going to be okay. Right, Pastor Rick? Okay, all right. So let's turn to John 8:12 here this morning. It says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. Jesus said these words in a Jerusalem temple during the Feast of Tabernacles that lasted 7 days, and it was a command, obviously, in the law of Moses. So this had to be done every year. And it was packed with people. People everywhere, because it was a celebration. It was like the 4th of July. This was a celebration. They were building leafy shelters or booths on rooftops and in courtyards, which, you know, I have read many times the Old Testament. I have read about the things that Moses did, and I have missed this. I did not know this happened. But it's found in Leviticus 23:42-43. It says, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Wow, that's powerful. So they got to build booths and things like that. Maybe the children's church ought to do that back there, Pastor Jared, if you're listening. So it was also a harvest festival. It celebrated God's provision. There was joyful feasts and eating all 7 days. There was a water pouring ceremony every single day. Each day a priest drew water from the pool of, I think it's Siloam, and poured it out on the altar while the people sang Isaiah 12:3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And it symbolized God providing water from the rock in the wilderness back then. So during that ceremony, Jesus stood up and shouted, if anyone thirsts, come to me. So he was there all 7 days. He was watching everything. And at different times, he would stand up and say something about himself. And at that time, as they were pouring that water out, he said, you thirst, you come to me, and you will thirst no more. Found in John 7:37. He was declaring himself the true source of living water. And also at the feast, every night, 4 massive 70-foot lampstands in the courtyard were lit. So hey, they had these young priests that they would carry large quantities of oil and climb those 70-foot ladders and pour all that oil in those ladders every single night. Man, that's 70 feet, guys. You know how high 70 feet is? Our sign out there is only 50 feet to the tip. And me and David's been up there on that sign. And man, we're praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm not scared of heights up there. But 70 feet tall, climbing up those ladders, pouring big vats of oil in. Every night, they would do this. And it represented a light that guided their ancestors back then, the pillar of the fire by night. And when the pillar of the fire moved, Israel moved. So it was symbolic of, again, what God did for them and how he protected them by day and by night while they were in the wilderness. So sometime during this ceremony, probably when those massive lights was going dim, Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness. Amen. Man, I loved his object lessons. I love that stuff. I'm an object lesson guy. It's beautiful. Those 70-foot pillars shined over all Jerusalem, if you read your history, almost all of Jerusalem. But Jesus is saying that his light will shine over the world, not just Jews, but us pathetic Gentiles as well. That's what the Jews thought we were. Saying, I'm going to shine my light over everyone, not just the Jewish people. So, and the problem humanity had was spiritual darkness and spiritual blindness. That was the problem that humanity had. So many people could not recognize truth, even when it was present. And it's still present today. And how many people do not recognize the light? If we follow Jesus, we won't stumble through life spiritually lost and in the dark. That's the point. So this reminds me of a true story between two good Jewish college friends. And when I read this story, it fit right in. The names were Art Garfunkel and Sandy Greenberg. Has any of you ever heard the story about these two? They were friends in college. And one day they both, and they're not gay, okay, I know. Today you got to say everything, all right? These were friends back in the 40s, all right? This is how friendships truly were. You go to overseas right now, two guys will be walking hand in hand and holding each other and all that. And am I right? As whoever goes to Africa overseas. Now, me and Rick ain't going to do that, you know, overseas. But they do. It's okay, you know? So, but these guys were friends, and they were at a baseball game. And something happened to Sandy's eyes at the baseball game. He's the one in the glasses there. And so he went to a doctor, and the doctor misdiagnosed him, and he went completely blind. It's his third year of college. And so he goes back home, skips out of school, and says, I'm done, and just wants to forget about life. That's crazy. But Art, man, he wouldn't let him do it. He flew up to his town, knocked on the door, went inside and said, you can't do this, Sandy. No, listen, you've got to come back to college. I will help you do everything. I will read to you every day. I will help you with all your assignments. I will walk you through the campuses. You've got to come back. And because Art said that he would be that kind of friend to him, he said, okay. And he came back to college. Well, one day, they decided to go to New York to Grand Central Station. And all of a sudden, Art looks at Sandy and says, hey, something has come up. I've got to go. I'm sorry. And he leaves blind Sandy at Grand Central Station in New York all by himself. What in the world? Well, Sandy just stood there, didn't know what to do, panicked. And all of a sudden, fear, of course, came all over him, and all of a sudden, anger. Okay, how could my friend do this to me? And then finally he got his scruples together and said, I've got to get back home. I don't know how. So he started talking. He started fumbling around, falling down, talking to people. This, can you help me? I'm blind. Da, 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 da. One thing led to another, and somehow he got back on that train. And of course, he got back to the college, which was absolutely amazing. And the college was Columbia University. But he fumbled, stumbled around, running into things, made the train back to campus. When he got back to campus, he got up to the building, and all of a sudden he heard, welcome home. It was Art Garfunkel. And Sandy was angry, and said, how could you leave me there? How could you do this? You're my best friend. Why did you do this to me? And Art said, I never left you. I never left the train station. I was with you every step of the way. I saw you fall. I saw you stumble. I saw you trying to get information. I saw you talking to people. I saw you get on the train. I was on the train with you. I was behind you. I was with you the entire way. I never left you. But if there would have been a problem, I would have stepped in. But Sandy, you had to know that you could do this on your own. Wow. Wow. That changed Sandy's life forever. He said fear left him that second. And he knew that he wasn't pathetic and that he was going to be something and that he was just not nothing anymore. Because his best friend did that for him. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. They're still friends today. That's a younger picture of them, but now they're both gray. They're both in their 80s. They're still great friends. And Art, the blind one there in the glasses, man, he became a professor, did all kinds of crazy, great things. But would that have happened without Sandy doing what he did? I doubt it. I doubt it. So here's what he said, and this was so good. Sandy said that it changed his life forever. The fear broke, and he realized he wasn't helpless. He said that Art's voice would always emerge from the darkness. Wow, what a powerful statement. Powerful statement. So when Jesus says that you will not walk in darkness, he doesn't say that you won't face dark times, that you won't face dark places, hard times, times where you feel I want to give up, that he's not there. He said you're not going to not face those things. But what he did say is you won't walk in them alone. I will always be with you. I stick closer than a brother. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. That's powerful. And yes, sometimes God feels silent. Sometimes Grand Central Station feels overwhelming. I understand that. And you fumble, and I'm sure you've said or are saying even today, Jesus, where are you? Why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Unlike friends who can only watch from a distance, Jesus doesn't just watch you navigate through the dark places. He's with you in those dark places. He's not left us. He enters them with us. He is that fourth man in the fire with us that we sang today. Hallelujah. He joins in. He's not just a bystander who's looking away. Hallelujah. Art Garfunkel's voice emerged from the darkness. But Jesus is the light in the darkness. Hallelujah. Big difference. Even when you cannot see him, he sees you. Even when you cannot feel him, he is with you. He's with you. And he can also take away our spiritual blindness as well. Those religious leaders in the temple thought that they could see, but they were spiritually blind, so spiritually blind that they could not see the Son of God standing right in front of them. Who else had done those miracles, those signs and wonders? Nobody. Nobody. Yeah, I'm sure a few people got healed in the temple because they'd say if you were sick, all right, go to the temple and they can be healed. So I'm sure some people got healed there. But man, nothing like Jesus. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. Those spiritual blindness says that you are fine without Jesus. Mm-hmm. Spiritual blindness says, I am religious, but I don't have to have a relationship with Jesus. Spiritual blindness sees the sin in others, but never sees the sin in themselves. Hallelujah. It's like bad breath. Everybody knows you have it except you. You know? That's different than what Pastor Dosek used to say. Hallelujah. Sandy Greenberg needed someone to help him navigate physical darkness. But Jesus is the light that is the cure for spiritual blindness. It's the cure for it. Jesus opens our eyes to truth. But then, of course, we have an adversary, the devil, and he wants to keep us blind, keep us in our sin, keep us hidden from the light, hidden from truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. So they're going to be dark unless, of course, they get a hold of Jesus. He is the only answer for their darkness. The devil wants you to stay comfortable in the dark. Comfortable in the dark. You know, when we first sinned, it was horrific. I mean, conviction was all over us. We cried. you know, I mean, we flailed on the ground. God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. But then we did it again. And we said, I'm sorry, Father. Oh, I'm sorry. We might have cried again a little bit. But the longer we stayed in the dark, the longer we walked toward the darkness, what happened? Yeah, all of a sudden, you know what? It's not too bad. It's not too bad. You know what? It's okay. Yeah, I'll ask forgiveness later. Yeah, conviction falls away somehow. It's not as heavy. It's not as upfront the longer we stay in darkness. And the devil wants to keep us in darkness because it's okay. Darkness can be comfortable for a season. For a season. But Jesus wants us transformed into the light. The same light that exposes sin also has grace for us as well. Thank God for grace and mercy. And Jesus says, come out, be free, be healed, see clearly. And he also says, come follow me, trust me, be with me. And then the devil's always sitting on the other side of your shoulder saying, you know what, stay where you are. Don't let anyone see. It's fine. Yeah, don't move. You don't need Jesus. No, people will judge you. Be careful. And remember, he's the liar and the father of lies. He cannot tell the truth. So when you hear him on that shoulder saying those things, it is impossible for him to tell the truth. And that he cometh not but just to do those three things, kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he wants to do for you. He does not love you. He does not want you. He does not care about you. He wants you to fry like him. I find it interesting how he always wants to bring up our past, but yet we seem to not want to bring up his past. Yo, sucker, you were an angel and you got thrown out of heaven. Yeah, his past, hello? Yeah, look at what you did, fool. You know, and you're going to burn forever. Bring up his past when he tries to bring up yours. Oh, yeah, there you go. Hallelujah, amen. All right. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he or she who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Following requires movement. It requires doing something. If you're in darkness for any reason today, and the band can come up right now. If you're in darkness for any reason today, darkness of hidden sins, darkness of any type of addiction, darkness of spiritual blindness in a certain area. Because, you know, you can have one area you're okay in, but you can be blind in another area. Right? Amen. Absolutely. Maybe there's darkness in shame, or you have bitterness. Bitterness is darkness. Bitterness creates physical sickness. Man, that's darkness. That's darkness. Or maybe you've gotten a little worse and you've dabbled in witchcraft or tarot cards, spirit guides. Maybe you've opened a door that you can't shut on your own. And you know now, man, I should have never done it. Remember the movie Robin Williams? You know, man, he's the man. I should have never played this game. Yeah, Jumanji. I should have never played that game. He was scared of it. Yeah. God is convicting you of those things right now. You know, in Lima, Ohio, there used to be a building in front of Menards. A lot of you might have seen it. It was like, I'll read your signs. It had tarot cards. This, I'll show you your future and all kinds of stuff out there. You know. And I used to curse that thing every time I went by. I curse you in Jesus' name, darkness. And that thing went out of business, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, it did. It went out of business. I knew it was going out of business when all of a sudden signs said 50% off. I knew, hey, we're winning. It's going down, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It closes doors. So if you are ready for the light this morning, ready for the light, ready for freedom, clarity, ready for your eyes to be opened. This is your morning. This is your morning, because some of you are dabbling in a part of darkness out there. Maybe not all of it, but part of it. You're in it. And God's saying, today is your day. It's your day. If you're tired of carrying that darkness, you're tired of spiritual heaviness, today is your day. It's your day. Everybody stand, please, in the house. There's only so long when you can pretend everything is fine. Everything's okay. I'll get through this myself. You never do. It just gets deeper. It just gets longer. It just gets darker. Man, how can it get darker? But it does. It does. People that just start, I'm just going to start with a little marijuana. No big deal. And then that ain't enough. And they go to something else. And then that ain't enough. And then that ain't enough. And that ain't enough. And the next thing you know, they're stealing from their parents. They're stealing from the ones they love for the darkness to continue because they can't control it any longer. They lose everything. And even when they've lost everything and they're living on the street with nothing, when you come up to them, can I help you? Yeah, man, I need a hit. Wow. That's darkness. That's darkness. Step out of the dark and come down here if you want that darkness to leave in Jesus' name. He is the light. If you're dealing anywhere, prayer team, come on down. If you're dealing in anywhere in your life with darkness, maybe it's simply lying. Darkness is in lying. But maybe it's deeper. Maybe it is witchcraft. Maybe it is something along those lines. If it's you, I want you to come down here today and let the light expose the darkness. Be delivered from that darkness. If you want somebody to help you come down, grab somebody's hand and bring them with you. We're the family here. We're a family. And notice this too. You're not just walking down to the altar today. You're walking into the light this morning. You're walking into the light. Jesus is here. He's the light of the world, and he wants to help you this morning. If there's anybody, and the Lord said there was, he directed me this way, but he cannot make you do anything. And neither do I want to make you do anything. Because if you're made to do it, coerced to do it, you'll go right back to it. Jesus wants you delivered. Anybody at all, no shame, no shame. We're here as family. We're here to help. We're here to help you. We've all been in darkness in a certain area, and we all need delivered. But if you're not ready for it, well, then stay right there. It's okay. It'll just get darker. Is that coercion? No. It's truth is what it is. It's truth. I'm not going to lie. I won't take too much time. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you feel that no, it's okay. Maybe you're simply in sin and you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, and today you would like to. You're still living in darkness. You're still deceived. Come out of that darkness. Hallelujah. This is tough. I thought it'd be a little easier than this. But the devil's got strongholds on people. It's up to you to break them, to say, no, I'm done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody at all? Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, going once. Anybody want to receive Jesus? If he comes back today, you're going with us. If not, you have the possibility of getting bombed tomorrow morning. It's the truth. We don't know. You know, in the end times, America's not even mentioned. So what does that mean? Are we obliterated or are we just not mentioned? I don't know. But let's not take the chance. Let's make sure we're right with the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is the Lord telling you anything, Nicole? Come on, come up here.
I just felt in my heart that maybe we need to identify the places of which that darkness comes. And I sense that there was sexual darkness. Now hear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that you're in a full-blown instantaneous sin. What I'm saying is you've allowed your gates, your eye gates, your ear gates, your ideas, and your sight has changed. You used to be sensitive to the things that would come on television or YouTube or your advertisements, and now you find yourself glancing a little longer than you ought. I heard the spirit of gambling. Let me tell you something. I've seen this in children, in young teenagers that start to dabble in things that are unknown. It's a little bit of poker, but we're not even using cash. Listen to me. That opens the doorway to the darkness.
Absolutely.
I see people dabbling in the thought of, well, you know, this person's really in tune. They discern things. Rather than going to the Word of God, you need a voice of a person. Do you know what you're doing? You're opening your gates to allow someone with a false sense of security in Christ to tell you what to do.
Right.
That's opening the door to man's voice instead of Christ.
Amen.
I'm talking along the lines that it's a searching of one's heart to say, God, where is there a speck of darkness that has a door cracked that the enemy can come in and put his foot in, and now darkness can flood?
Little leaven.
I don't think it has to be as large as you're talking.
No, it don't.
I just sense that there's a renewing in us to say, where have I allowed comfort? Comfort. I'm comfortable with this level of darkness because I'm really not walking in sin.
There you go.
But I've allowed now the beginning of, Randy, as he would say, the yeast to grow within the dough. And you can't use a piece of leaven and it not affect the entire loaf.
It's true. It's true.
So I'm asking you to search. I'm asking all of us. And I think that if we were to all be honest, every one of us could be at the altar. It's not about those that come down are the less than. It's that those that come down are the ones that are aware.
Yeah.
That are saying, God, I don't want this place in my life.
Sure.
I want to be consecrated towards you. And I don't know if you've checked the church world out today, but it's falling apart in front of our eyes because of a lack of sanctification and holiness.
Yes.
Oh, that it would be only God, that we would be on our knees in a place of repentance and say, God, let me not be caught.
Amen.
In a place with my door open.
Yes.
Where the enemy can put his foot inside my life.
That's right. You know, saying that, Nicole and I was at a marriage conference that we were doing in Berlin, Ohio this weekend. And we got done about 10 o'clock at night, and she was hungry at 10 p.m. And so I didn't know anything about Berlin, Ohio. She stayed in her room, and I went and tried to find a pizza and a Coke for my lovely wife, who doubles my joy, cuts my sorrows in half, and triples my expenses. So I was trying to find this pizza at 10 o'clock at night, and I go down to the city of Berlin, Ohio, and I park on the side of the road, and I see a pub there. I didn't even look this way. I didn't know what it was. I just saw a pub there. It was open. The doors were open and music was playing. And I know pubs have pizza. So I walked over to the pub and I went to go in, and I got a check in my spirit. Nobody knows me in Berlin, Ohio. But listen, it was dark inside. There's lots of people in there. Music was playing. And I stopped and I just looked and I just started looking at everyone. I'm like, why did you stop me? It looks fine. There's guys here. There's guys over here. Music playing. It don't look dangerous to me. And I couldn't go in. So I went, well, okay. And I looked over here and Domino's Pizza was bright and lit up right there. So I went to the light and I got a pizza, you know, at 10 o'clock at night. But again, you know, I don't know why I was stopped there, but I thought, well, duh, it's just pizza. I could have walked on in, but I was sensitive to the spirit for some reason. And thank God, I don't know what would have happened.
It was a void appearance of all evil.
Amen.
It was a void appearance of all evil. And don't give the enemy a doorway that he shouldn't have in our lives.
Yes. Yeah.
And so.
So maybe we do this. Maybe we just, where we are, we just repent. Is that okay?
That sounds wonderful.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
We don't want to embarrass anybody, obviously. But we want to help. We're the body of Christ. So let's all just, where we are, let's all be sincere in our hearts. And let's just repent for any type of darkness that might be trying to enter into us. The simple, the little things are those places that are there that you just don't want to deal with right now and don't want to come down for. Be careful. Be careful. Jesus only knocks so long. So long. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. And God, we are sincere where we are. And we ask you right now, God, if there's any type of darkness that is trying to enter into us. Maybe we've just turned on the computer. Maybe, Father, it's just a little bit once a week right now. But we know, God, that little will turn into complete darkness. God, we repent of that small seed of darkness entering into our lives right now. Just repent for it right now and say, God, I want no more of it. I won't flirt with her any longer at work. I won't do it. In Jesus' name, I repent for that right now. I love my wife. She is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I repent and I'm sorry for it. Whoever that was for you right now. That came to my spirit instantly. That's for you. Repent for it, Father. We thank you. God, any other small sins, small darknesses, God, right now we just repent for it right now. Just whatever it is, just say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me and help me. Come into the darkness where I'm at. Expose the light, Father. In Jesus' name, we curse darkness in our lives right now, and it has to go because it has no power. I thank you, Father. Deep darkness, Lord, deep sins, witchcraft, anything, Father, that's trying to take over their lives, deception, I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. Go, come off of them right now. I thank you, Father, as we repent, it's forgiven. And Father, we will turn and go the other way in our repentance today. We thank you, Father. Any other areas, expose them right now. We give you permission to expose any type of darkness, any type of seed that would take us down the wrong path, Father, the wide path and not the narrow path. God, we give you, Father, authority to check our lives right now and speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father.
I saw a young boy, college age, and I saw him with a group of friends, but these friends were all dark, and he was light. And when he hung out with them, his light began to dissipate. God says that you're going to have to separate yourself from that darkness. Darkness doesn't always come in the place in the look of sin. It comes in the look of friends.
Yes.
And those friends then lead you into that sin. And today you might be strong, but like a light, it was just draining out of you. And God says you're going to have to separate yourself. He said, literally, come out from among them.
Yes.
Come out from among that influence.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. I speak to that soulless relationship with that young boy and those friends. And I command that soulless relationship to die right now from the root. And God, I thank you for a replacing of Christian, godly friends.
Yes.
That would lead him into the light.
Thank you.
Father, that they could be like a lamp set on a hill together.
Thank you.
God, that they would be friendships for life. Friendships of life.
Hallelujah.
That would breed life.
Thank you.
That would protect life. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for it, Father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is that all you get? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have any sickness in your body, remember when we pray today, the prayer team is here. We are here for you, to help you, we'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just make sure. Okay, let's dismiss. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you and I thank you, Father, for this message, Lord God, that you gave me. thank you, Father, that it just grinds into the spirits of your children today, Lord God. For in these last days, Father, we need to be pure. You are looking, Father, for that remnant that is pure. Let us be that remnant, Lord, that is pure for you at all costs, God. No matter how good it feels, what it brings to our flesh. God, let us walk away from it. Let us run from it. Let us turn from it in these last days, Father. For it's only going to get darker. It's only going to get stronger. But God, in the midst of it, grace will abound, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for grace and mercy in our lives. That as we repent, as we say we are done with this, that you will enter in with us. That fourth man in our fire, in our darkness, Lord God, in our forgiveness. You will help us through. Give us the path of light, Lord Jesus. Give us the escape, Lord God, when it tries to come again. I thank you, Father, for it. I thank you for it today. Thank you for helping us, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for blessing this congregation, blessing these people, Lord God. Everywhere they put their foot, they prosper in Jesus' name. I thank you their family prospers, Lord God, because they walk in the light. God, there's blessing when we walk in the light, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There is promise when we walk in the light, Lord God. Promises when we walk in the light, Lord Jesus. Help us walk in that light today. God, I thank you for that conviction on us today, God. Let it never leave, but just be stronger in Jesus' name. That conviction, God, let it fall heavy on us, heavy on our souls, in the name of Jesus today. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just let go and let God move. Thank you, Jesus. We curse the strongholds that you have, devil, on these people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let them go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. They're free in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving, moving, moving. God, we give you the praise for it all. We give you the praise for this week. God, that people will prosper. People will be blessed. That they will be the light in the darkness of this world this week. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. And I give you praise. You are dismissed, those that you want to leave. If you want to stay and continue to pray, continue to intercede. We'll see you Wednesday night. How to study the Bible. We're starting that series on Wednesday night as well. God bless you. We love you guys. Have a fantastic week. Thank you, Jesus. See you still.